in the encyclical letter Quamquam Plures, August 5, 1889, St. Joseph is held up as a special model of working men. Wrote Pope Leo XIII in that encyclical, quote, "Proletarians, working men, and all those whose worldly means are small, have a special and particular right to turn to Joseph and find in him a model for imitation. Though a man of royal blood, husband of the greatest and holiest of all women, and held by men to be the father of the Son of God, he yet passed his life toiling as an artisan in order to procure what was necessary for the upkeep of his home. Therefore, the condition of those whose means are slender is not despicable. Not only is manual labor not dishonorable, but it can be of sublime dignity if coupled with virtue. Satisfied with his scanty possessions, Joseph endured with a calm and lofty spirit the hardships which are the inevitable accompaniment of slender means, thus following the examples of his son, who, though lord of all, took the form of a slave and subjected himself of his own free will to the greatest want and indigence. The poor and all those who live by the work of their hands ought, by meditating on these things, to sustain their courage and maintain a correct outlook of life. They certainly have the right to raise themselves above want and improve their condition by every legitimate means, but neither reason nor justice permits them to overthrow the order established by divine providence. Nay more, to have recourse to violence and by sedition and rioting to attempt to bring about a change is extremely foolish, as it causes the very evils from which relief is sought, and even most of the time makes them worse. Let the poor then, if they are wise, not place any reliance in the promises of seditious men, but trust in the example and patronage of St. Joseph and in the maternal charity of the Church, which is ever exercising a most solicitous care for their welfare." End of quote. The Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. A few excerpts from the encyclical letter Magna Dei Matris, September 7, 1892, of Pope Leo XIII, will bring before us at the same time the virtues of our Blessed Mother and the efficacy of the beautiful devotion of the Rosary, so dear to Irish families in the past. Writes the great pontiff, quote, "The Christian is so absorbed by the various occupations of life and so easily distracted by things of little moment that, unless he is often warned, he forgets little by little the most important and most essential matters. Hence it happens that his faith languishes and may even fail altogether. To preserve her children from this great danger of ignorance, the Church neglects none of the means suggested by her solicitude and watchfulness, and the Rosary, in honor of Mary, is one of the chief remedies to which she has recourse in order to come to the aid of faith. The Rosary, in point of fact, along with the most beautiful and fruitful form of prayer recited in accordance with the established order, brings before our minds in succession the principal mysteries of our religion for our contemplation and veneration. In the first place, come those mysteries by which the Word was made flesh, and in which Mary, Virgin and Mother, carries out her office of Mother with holy joy. Then succeed the bitter sorrows, torments, and death of the suffering Christ, by which he paid the price of our salvation. Finally, in the glorious mysteries, we behold his triumph over death, his ascension into heaven, the coming of the Holy Ghost, together with the radiant splendor of Mary, welcome beyond the stars, and the eternal glory of all the elect in company with the Mother and the Son. By the recital of the Rosary, these wonders are often and assiduously brought before the minds of the faithful in regular order. Nay, they may be said to take place before their very eyes. Thus it is that the Rosary fills the minds of those who recite it with an ever-renewed sweetness of devotion, producing almost the same impressions and emotions as they would feel if they were listening to the very voice of their most merciful Mother, explaining the mysteries of them and urging them along the path of salvation. Accordingly, it does not seem an exaggeration to affirm that these persons, families, and peoples, amongst whom the practice of reciting the Rosary has remained in honor, need not fear loss of faith through ignorance or the pestilential errors of our times. The church hopes also for another and not less important blessing for her children from the recitation of the rosary, namely, the bringing of their lives and conduct into harmony with the rules and precepts of our holy faith. The contemplation of the mysteries admirably conduces, by stirring up souls to the pursuit of virtue, towards bringing about the happy result of action and life in accordance with the faith we profess. What a sublime and lofty example does not the work of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ offer us on all points? It is not possible that one should consider attentively such proofs of immense love of us on the part of our Redeemer without our hearts being stirred with gratitude towards him. The force of purified faith will be so great that, our minds being illuminated and our hearts vividly affected, we shall be wholly drawn on to follow in the footsteps of Christ in spite of all obstacles. Thus we shall be able to proclaim with St. Paul, "Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or persecution, or the sword? And I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me."